911, what's the address of the emergency?
The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
Nothing but true stories on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome again to another edition of the Summit County Justice Files. And I know there's an introduction script that I usually read, and it's sitting right there. Just give it to me, and I'll read it right now. We're not going to miss a beat on this at all. It's our disclaimer at the beginning. I'll hand it back to you so you can read your part. Okay. Justice Files is your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Now, before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories on the Summit County Justice File. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity. Because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Starting out with a theft, there is a woman who allowed a man to stay at her house for a few months, but eventually kicked him out. A few months later, she noticed several unauthorized payments from her checking account.
Shocking.
PayPal to DoorDash and other services. So he basically ripped her off, is what it seems.
I have so many other questions. You know what I mean? Like, if I was talking to this woman.
Right.
Like, you just read this and you go, guy stayed at her house. Uh-huh. Then she kicked him out.
After several months.
After several months. And she's surprised that all of a sudden she's getting all these bills. I mean, come on. All the evidence pointed to the man, obviously, that stayed with her. The deputies, obviously, through her, were able to identify this guy and were able to... You know, of course, she reported to them that he frequently asked her to pay for things because he didn't have a job.
Oh.
There's so many questions in all of this, yeah, right?
Definitely.
That after they investigated the thefts, obviously the deputies found plenty of evidence that this was the guy, and there was a warrant issued for his arrest, and he could be in custody as we speak now. But, I mean... A few months staying at your house, paying his way. Sounds like a good gig.
If you're a guy and you can get that, have somebody pay your way like that? No kidding. It's like,
right?
Where do I sign up, dude?
I mean,
man.
What in the world? We should pull his booking photo and see what he's got that we don't got.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, right.
I'm sure we're as good looking as he is.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Let's talk about this incident where shots were fired. Summit County Sheriff's Office deputies received multiple reports of gunshots coming from the wooded area south of Straight Creek Drive in Dillon Valley.
Yeah, you know what's crazy is, the deputies responded to the area and they weren't able to locate anybody. And obviously the shooting had stopped, but later on another resident called because they found a bullet that had struck their house and nearly hitting a family member.
Jeez.
Yeah, when the shooting was good. So the shooting was legit. And so what the deputy did on scene was able to trace the shooting back. Well, ingenuity, right? Looked at where the bullet entered the house, looked across the valley to where that would probably be, drove over to there, and found a whole pile of empty shell casings.
Oh, wow.
In the street. Isn't that crazy?
Just somebody off firing a gun
Someone
in the middle of the street?
Gun. Yeah. Well, on an end of a...
Yeah. Yeah. But still.
Yeah. Just firing. It was a good report of a shooting, but I thought it was pretty ingenious when the deputy came to me and said, yeah, you know how I found this? I just... looked at where it entered this house, and I looked straight across, got like a beam light, shot it straight across, saw where that might be, drove over to that area, and lo and behold, there was a pile of casings on the ground.
I think I saw that on CSI Miami one time or something like that.
We saw at the Summit County Sheriff's Office, we solve everything in 30 minutes.
Absolutely, yes. Just in time for the commercial break. So at this point, do you try to track down who was shooting the gun and firing those bullets at random houses?
Yeah, we do, and the detectives are working on it.
Okay.
But again, it's not like CSI. We don't solve it in 30 minutes. But yeah, they absolutely will try to track it down to see. Someone's got to know who was out there. It's and a small community.
Hopefully we'll get some closure here on the Summit County Justice Files.
Yeah,
in the
stay
future.
Tuned.
Yeah. There is a trail user in unincorporated Breckenridge reported to deputies that there was an unoccupied vehicle at a trailhead that had been running for hours, and we have a call on this one with some audio.
I'm up at the Boreas Pass trailhead, and there's been a truck just running for over an hour. There's nobody in it. Just kind of weird.
Okay. Can you give me a description of that vehicle?
Yeah, I got the police. Gray Ram with a smart cap on it.
And you said it's running.
Yeah, it's been running for well over an hour.
Great. All right, Gray Ram, smart cap.
Made the dispatcher laugh.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, sir.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's probably not too often when you get the dispatcher to crack
a
little laugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually when we find a car running at a trailhead, there's not a good ending to it.
No, not at all.
Deputies were able to contact the registered owner of this vehicle and were able to determine that the guy's wife went out for a run on the dirt road, you know, on Boreas Pass.
Yeah.
And when she left the vehicle, she didn't realize she left the vehicle running and took off.
Running on her own.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
This is like when you hear that people leave dogs or babies or like how do you walk away from your car and it's running and you don't realize it?
I guess you're so fixated on getting that run in and what your route's going to be and what you're going to do and what
who
time you're going
to run into.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, the
maybe
truck
she
was
meeting somebody.
Maybe. We don't know.
Maybe that's the hurry. I mean, why else would you be in a hurry?
Yeah. But everything was fine in this case.
She was fine. The car was fine. It's just, all's well that ends well.
That's a good thing. Let's talk about a trespass incident. A resident of unincorporated Breckenridge reported an unknown man banging on her door, trying to get into her home in the early hours of the morning. And we have audio on this call as well.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Some guy is banging on my door. And, like, we can't understand what he's saying.
We're getting people started your way.
Okay. I mean, it's just really weird because I have, like, a super long driveway.
No, I understand, but do you see, like, a vehicle or anything in that driveway?
Can you guys see the car? Well, we're just all moving around the house trying to make sure the doors are locked.
Okay.
Now they're making sure the doors are locked.
Like, he said something, like, about a car. And we're all just like, go away, go away. And he's like, oh, my bad. It's just like, it's dumping snow and then... No, it's like...
I can't see it.
So you can't...
Wait, I'm trying... No, he walked because it's snowing and there's no tracks in the...
Okay,
he definitely walked up. So okay. I don't know if his car broke down because I do live... I'm like two houses off of Highway 9. But I feel like he would walk to town before he'd walk to our house.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Our officers are almost there. Okay, they're about a mile out, so just give them just a minute, okay? You got your doors locked and everything?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'll be out with a suspect.
Hey, what's going on, man?
I'm sorry, I'm a little...
This is a deputy contacting the not illegal, but drunk, man. Suspect.
Yeah, so. I'm sorry, I'm not fucked up.
Okay. Your friends are back in town?
Yeah.
Someone says I'm not fucked up. They're fucked up.
We just have like a Airbnb there.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm just trying to get there.
Okay.
I just want to go home.
Is anyone else with you? No. In the snow? So someone just called and said that there's someone banging on their door.
I swear to God, that was not me.
It's not illegal to be banging on someone's door.
It was not me.
Of course it's not me. I'm not fucked up, and it's not me.
I just want to go home.
I just want to go home.
If you don't take me back home.
I can work with you, man. Do you have any weapons on you?
No, sir.
Okay, you mind if I just pat you down real quick?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
No drugs, nothing.
Okay. Anything in the back?
No, sir. Just, yeah, beer.
Just your beer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't violated any laws, right?
Correct, yeah. Public talks is not illegal in Colorado.
I just want to go home, please.
That's fine, man. If you want to come have a seat,
now he's bringing
you have a
God
bunch of
into
stuff
it.
In the front seat. So you have to sit back. You're not under arrest. You are not in any trouble, okay?
Thank you.
Wow. All right. He definitely was lost.
He was definitely lost and loaded.
Uh-huh.
This is... You know, we've been doing this Justice Files for podcast for over a year now.
Right.
And you're starting to get to see now what deputies go through. Like, uh-huh. You get these same calls over and over, but the nuances are just, like, if you didn't have the audio files, right. The nuances are just crazy.
Oh, yeah, you got to catch it.
But this guy was obviously highly intoxicated. It was a typical story where he wandered away from a bar with friends. He thought he knew where he lived. He couldn't find where they were staying, and he asked the deputy if he could just take him back into town to find his friends at a bar so he could start all over again.
Which is never a good idea.
Which is never a good idea. However, they were sober friends. They were able to turn him over to the sober friends.
Oh, good.
And the friends said that they would get him in an Uber and get him home. And we suggested that maybe they go home with him, because if they just put him in an Uber, it's probably going to happen.
What just
happened.
He won't know where he is.
I live right there. Could you just drop me off here?
Yeah, so
he got home.
That's good.
We assume he got home safe.
There were no further incidents.
There were no further incidents or calls or anything like that.
Well, let's talk about this tragedy of skier death. Deputies responded to Breckenridge Ski Resort after receiving a report that CPR was in progress following a skier crash.
Yeah, you know, we talk about these. We've talked about these on the Justice Files as well as on the radio. These are really unfortunate incidents that are really resource-driven, and especially in our low snow year. I mean, you're familiar with this area, the Lake Chutes at the Breck Ski Resort.
Right.
I mean, usually there's a lot of snow in there, as we talk about, sort of like a basin, you know, over there with the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's not a lot of snow.
There's a lot of rocks.
That's exactly what I was going to say. When there's not a lot of snow, there's a lot of rocks. And if, especially from out of state, I mean, we talk about this often, that if you don't live here, you can look around and go, oh, wow, you guys got a lot of snow.
Right.
When to us, we're like, no, we have no snow. But to someone visiting, I mean, the resorts look open, and you don't know what the Lake Chutes looks like when there's a ton of snow in there.
Right.
So unfortunately, this guy came flying down the Lake Chutes and found himself falling all the way to the top to bottom and was killed.
Wow.
And of course, you know, being from out of state, it just adds to the tragedy and the trauma and everybody involved. So horrible incident.
It's just a result of a rather sketchy season on the slopes.
Yeah, I mean, more than anything. Yeah. Sketchy season and not being familiar with where you're skiing and thinking, oh, yeah, it wouldn't be open if it was bad, where all the signs warn you.
Yeah.
Ski at your own risk.
Lots of unmarked obstacles.
Oh, yeah.
Variable conditions on the slopes as we slowly make our way through toward the end of another ski season. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, it's almost summer.
I know. It feels like it. Wow. Yeah, we're basically in the Summit County Sheriff's Office in Breckenridge at the end of March, recording this podcast, and the temperature is 70 outside.
Crazy. And our snowpack is at 48%.
A very unusual season.
Very
for
unusual.
Certain. Summit County 911 Center aired information over the radio on a stolen vehicle out of the Front Range, which was traveling westbound into Summit County. And several deputies and officers went to the interstate to try to locate the vehicle. When the vehicle was found, a traffic stop was initiated, and we have audio from that traffic stop.
Okay, that's fine.
Hello.
Hey, is it just you and two kiddos in here? I'm just gonna check real quick, okay?
So, we reported this vehicle stolen, so I don't know if you guys are renting it.
We are renting it.
Where'd you guys rent it from?
Tomorrow at the airport.
Okay.
My husband can show you all of that documentation.
Okay, so the person that reported it stolen, they were giving us a live feed of where this vehicle was going. Just so that you're aware that when we conduct vehicle stops on stolen vehicles, our guns come out because we don't know if people are on.
Wow, somebody in a stolen vehicle, they didn't know it.
If you remember, we talked about Turo on the last Justice Files.
Yep, we did.
So this is another one,
man,
where it turns out that in one of those airport lots, Turo parked a bunch of cars that were the same make, model, and color, and put all of the keys in one lockbox.
Oh, jeez.
So this poor family just grabbed the keys thinking like, oh, this must be the keys to our car.
Yeah.
And took off in the car. And so when the people that came that really rented the car, they called Turo and said, someone stole the car. So here's a family going down I-70 through Summit County. Turo's calling our dispatch saying, we're tracking this car. Deputies rush up there. And, you know, thank God that the deputies, you know, approached with caution, that they didn't get a bunch of kids and a mother and her kids out at gunpoint in the middle of the interstate, which would have been really horrible.
Oh, man.
And it turned out it was a case of mistaken identity. I mean, it's crazy to think that a company would park more than one car, same make, model. They must have bought a fleet, right?
Right.
Yeah. And just parked it there and put them all in one lockbox with no instructions. And she just took the wrong keys on the wrong car.
She wasn't told otherwise.
She wasn't told.
Man.
Isn't that something?
I just can't believe that this company is still in business and doing business the way they are. It just seems like this is just one incident, and there's got to be others.
Oh.
There's got to be
others.
Can
you imagine? Yeah. I mean, 2 weeks in a row, we've talked about a Turo incident.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if we talk about a Turo incident next week.
Stay tuned.
Hey, you get what you pay for.
Right. Here's another instance of fraud. A wilderness woman reported to deputies that she had been the victim of a complicated fraud scheme. She received several calls from a toll-free number, which appeared to be her bank. She missed the first few calls, but because they kept calling, she eventually answered, and we have audio.
Hi, I just have a quick question. I need to file a police report due to credit card fraud, and I've been talking to my bank today, and I got basically scammed yesterday via phone call, and they ended up sending somebody to my house to physically pick up my card and take it and hack it and do all of that. And they made purchases in Denver, but they did show up to my house yesterday.
What address do you live at?
Silverthorne, Colorado.
Is there a unit number?
And they didn't come into my apartment.
Did they get your card?
They did get my card.
Okay. All right. They threaten you to get the card?
They didn't threaten me.
Okay.
The whole thing was a very suspicious situation.
Very suspicious, but I still gave my card.
So silly, but
it's okay.
Did happen.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I'm glad you're reporting it, and I'm going to give this to a deputy. They'll give you a phone call. That should be pretty shortly. And
okay. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's an interesting case.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy cow.
You know, you and I talk about fraud schemes all the time. Whether it be on the radio or whether it be here on the Justice Files.
Yeah.
And this is just, you know, another evolution of how these schemes keep going on and on and on. I mean, this guy, this scam works where they call you and they tell you that they're from your bank and that your debit card has been compromised. And, you know, they get you to give them some information and they say, you know, the only way to protect this is, you know, if you could come down to your local bank and turn in your card, and they go, oh, and they know that your bank is not a local bank.
Okay.
And so they go, oh, well, you know, we're happy to send a courier, because the only way to rectify this, they're telling you there's a fraud, right?
Yeah.
Is to pick up the card. And so you agree to it. They come to your house, they They pick up the card. They go on a shopping spree.
Oh, jeez.
Because now they're sure you're not going to report it because you think you have already reported it.
Right.
And so they go on a shopping spree until it's maxed out, and then it's too late.
Oh, man.
And, you know, you hope, depending on the bank and the card, that they make you whole and they take, you know, they take the loss.
Right.
We never know what happens because usually with these cases, the banks, you know, their internal fraud investigators end up handling it. They end up becoming the victim. So now this person's no longer the victim.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It is. Absolutely.
Anybody listening, Tom and I talk about these all
the time.
The time. Yeah. Email, text, phone calls.
Oh, speaking of texts, I got one yesterday. I was going to forward it to you. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Did you get a bunch of... I'm sure other people will forward
this
to you.
But my ticket, I didn't pay it.
Delete, block, report, junk.
You know, on the same day, I got a bunch of emails of, like, your Netflix account is frozen. Your... All kinds of different ones, but like boom, 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 like right in a row.
Oh, wow.
And they were all, you know, they had the real, like Netflix one had the real Netflix banner.
Logo on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you would think if you didn't know better, you know, if you didn't know to check that header.
Right.
And they see that it's from, you know, Africa or something. or Iran. you know, you would think that you click on the link and you're done. And this was like three in a row.
Jeez.
Crazy. Same day as the DMV text.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, just, go pay your ticket, Tom.
Okay.
Or click on the link. What the heck?
I'll just wait till there's a warrant issue. Yeah,
there you go.
There, how's
you
that?
Know, you know someone you can call.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a DUI incident. A deputy responded to I-70 after dispatch aired a READY report, R-E-D-D-I, report every drunk driver immediately, READY report. The report was about a vehicle stopped in the right lane beyond the tunnel heading westbound, and the report stated that the driver of the vehicle had passed out, and traffic had to navigate around the stopped vehicle. The reporting driver also noted that he had seen this driver earlier on the road, and he observed him weaving and unable to maintain his lane. And we have a call and body cam audio on this incident.
I just wanted to advise you guys of a ready that's coming into your area. 70 westbound at the 216. The driver was passed out at the wheel, blocking the road, but then just started driving again.
I stopped you tonight because you
just taking a quick nap.
And also weaved in and out of your lane a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You feeling all right tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We also had a report that you may have been slumped over or pulled over up by the tunnel. Did you pull over for any reason? No, you never pulled over. Okay, got it. I have insurance and registration, please. Okay, thanks. You had anything to drink tonight?
No,
sir. No?
Okay. No, sure.
Any other substances, anything like that? You feeling okay? Not too tired?
Not too tired.
Okay. What time did you start your trip today?
We started at about, like, I got up work at 3:30, but picked her up at about 5.
Yeah. Okay, stay in the car for me. I'll be right back. Yes. Hey, this is Sergeant Schilling with the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I've stopped that truck that you called in. Can you kind of describe what you saw with it?
Okay. He was passed out in the right lane at mile marker 216, going up westbound on Eisenhower.
Okay.
A phone in his lap, head down, traffic had to go around him. I had to go on the shoulder to go around him and then pull forward to where other trucks would go
around. So he's talking to the driver that called him in.
Right.
Okay. Pulled over.
Yeah. I had called earlier. And he was swerving in my lane at mile marker 247.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when he was passed out, was the car, like, stopped?
Stopped because he was passed out, and I swerved around. Everybody was swerving around him. He was out, man.
Step out of the car for me, please. Meet me back here. Well, you have any weapons on you tonight? Okay, come over here. I want you to stand facing me, with your arms by your side, and stand with your feet together, all right? The reason I ask you out of the car is because I've got a witness up by the tunnel that said you fell asleep at the wheel, you were in a traffic jam, you were weaving from your lane, you were blocking traffic, and then at some point traffic stopped, and then you had fallen asleep.
No, that's absolutely not right.
Okay. But then when I was driving behind you, you were weaving from your lane, so I just want to make sure you're safe to drive. Okay, do you feel like you're safe to drive tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's just stop that one. Let's walk back over here by your car. So I could smell the odor of alcohol coming off your breath. And from what I'm seeing here, you've had something to drink.
It's mouthwash.
So, yeah. Do you want to tell me how much you've had to drink?
Listerine. I know it smells like tequila.
I had a beer earlier.
Okay, I had a beer. How long ago?
3 hours ago.
About 3 hours ago? Okay.
Yeah, we left Fort Morgan at like 5.
Okay. Turn around. You're under arrest. I'm going to put everything I take out of your pockets into this bag. This is your 50 UI.
Seriously?
Fifth
DUI. How is he even on the road?
Then there was an open, empty bottle of tequila in the backseat.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's amazing.
Crazy. Thank God somebody, well, first of all, thank God he didn't kill or hurt anybody, especially passing out and stopping on the interstate.
Right.
And thank God that, when people call this stuff in, someone like this person continued to follow him until the cops pulled him over, the deputies, and then pulled over and gave all this information to the deputies to make it a solid case. But, I mean, 50 UI, I mean, what?
Wow.
What is our judicial system thinking?
I mean, you hear about just one DUI and the expenses involved in fighting that in the thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. And to think to go through it a second time and a third, fourth
and fifth.
Fifth time.
Yeah, he'll do some time.
I would hope so.
Well, we would hope with the fourth, third, second, and first one, too. But obviously, hopefully with the fifth. His girlfriend there was taken to a local motel by the cops, and then the deputies brought him to the Summit County Detention Facility.
And that's what happens when you drive drunk and you get pulled over.
Thank God he didn't.
I have images of an old video that I saw, many years ago. And it was in California. It was probably like the 405 that has like six lanes or something. And the traffic comes to a stop several times
abruptly.
On there. Yeah. Well, there was somebody who decided to take a nap during one of those stops. And the traffic got going again. The dude was still there in one of the middle lanes of the 405. And didn't wake up. No. I mean, there's traffic going at regular highway speeds around him. He's still there just passed out waiting for the traffic to start when he wakes up.
He's lucky someone didn't just, move the car for him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Smash the car for him. Let's talk about criminal mischief. Two drivers engaged in road rage. It was on I-70 that resulted in both drivers being issued a summons to court. One driver was upset the other driver was driving too slowly in the fast lane. To get around him, the first driver passed using the right lane and flipped him off. Well, the slower driver didn't appreciate that, so he sped up, swerved through traffic to catch up, and brake-checked the other. And we have call and body cam audio on this as well.
911, what did you address for your emergency?
Copper Mountain, 91. This guy rode me and broke my back window. I'm following him right now. He tried to run me off the road. And then I stopped to confront him, and he broke my back window. I don't know how he did it. He's going to be getting on westbound I-70 just about now. I'm still right behind him.
What did he use to break out your back window?
I don't know. I was getting in my vehicle. I was going to take off, and he just broke my back window. I can't believe he did that.
Hey! I'm Joe at the Summit County Sheriff's Office. What happened?
I was exiting. The guy got in front of me.
Well, where were you exiting? Let's start there.
I don't know, sir.
Okay.
I was coming this way. I'm
exiting. Yeah.
I was exiting. He hit the brake twice on me.
Okay.
He got off. He kicked my car.
Okay.
And then he came at me. I pissed him in. Had a water bottle. I threw it at him. Like, keep going.
So, back up a little bit with a little bit more detail.
So he brake checks you twice.
Yes.
Why do you get off after he brake checks?
He gets out in front of me. He stops in the middle of the road.
Okay.
He gets off. He comes in with the help.
All right. So you are going to get a summons, and you're going to get a summons for reckless driving, for the road rage incident, and for kicking his car, which is disorderly conduct. He got a summons for reckless driving and breaking your back window, which is criminal mischief. Much higher charge, but you're both at fault in this, and I think we can both admit that. The way that you get that window paid for is in court to get restitution for his criminal mischief charge. So he admits to kicking your car. He admits to cutting you off. He admits to flipping you off. However, you following him off the off-ramp, it doesn't make any sense. That's all this is going to be something that you can argue in court.
I mean, I didn't follow him.
Yeah.
I had no interest in following this guy. I mean, I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, to ask.
You're going to ask.
Yeah.
So this is what's going to happen. You're going to get a ticket, and okay. The ticket is for reckless driving.
Okay.
And it's for a criminal mischief, which means you caused damage to somebody else's stuff.
Okay.
Road rage alive and well on the Interstate 70 corridor in Summit County, Colorado.
Isn't it crazy?
It's wild.
I mean, I think about all the times that I've gotten mad at traffic or mad at a car in front of me, but I've never thought of like taking it to the next level.
I know.
And like telling someone, pull over, they get outside and fight them.
Yeah.
And then vandalize their car.
Oh, boy.
I mean, these guys not only verbally abused each other, but then they got into, you know, a kicking match of each other's car outside, ending with one of the guys picking up a metal water bottle out of his car and just smashing the other guy's back window.
Oh, so that's how he broke it.
That's how he broke it. Smashing with a water bottle. I mean, it's crazy how, what goes through people's mind to where you want to take it off the road and now physical.
So they both got ticketed.
They both got ticketed.
Does the guy who is driving slow in the left lane, does he even understand why he got a ticket?
I don't think so.
Probably
because
not,
we no. see them all the time.
All the time. All the time. Every day.
All the time.
Let's talk about a fraud case. A Summit County woman
another
was...
Another fraud?
No, another one. A Summit County woman was defrauded of nearly $50,000.
50.
This is after a scam email prompted her to call a phone number that she believed was PayPal over an alleged fraudulent transaction. The scammers convinced her to share her computer screen with them and quickly managed to transfer a large sum of money from one of her accounts into her checking account, but explained something had gone wrong, at which point she was advised to transfer the money to them. And $50,000 later...
$50,000, it gets worse.
Oh, boy.
Not knowing that the money had come from one account to the other, they controlled her computer, took money out of one bank account, put it in another, so then they convinced her that something had gone wrong and she needs to transfer that money to them. So now... she's transferred $50,000 to them. A few days later, she notices the cursor on her screen moving.
Oh, no.
And she notices her stocks being sold off.
They still have control of her computer.
Yeah, and they're selling her stocks.
Oh, my God.
And now that they have control of her accounts, they're taking the money. And so she was able to stop those transactions by calling her broker really quick and her banks and freezing everything. But it wasn't just the $50,000. It kept going days later to where they're still controlling her computer.
Man.
Selling off her stocks.
Man. Scammers, they dig in like a tick.
Oh, yes.
Just, I mean, they don't let up.
It's like a bad infection.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. So does it ever get traced back? Is it some call center in Indiana?
As we've talked about before, I mean, our detectives obviously will look into this. We'll get our federal partners involved, but it'll come back to some other country,
right.
And it'll be untraceable. Or it'll bounce around servers all over the world. But this stuff is never recovered. I mean, she lost the cash. She was able to stop the stocks, but it's not like those companies are going to refund the stocks.
No,
you know what I mean?
Not at all.
They're going to say, hey, get better control of your computer. But again, people, scammers, if it doesn't sound right, it's just that thing of that little bit of truth. Like this person, oh my gosh, I just did do a PayPal.
Right.
Oh gosh, something must have gone wrong.
But I gotta believe that there is no legitimate company that will want to take control of your computer.
No.
At any time in a transaction.
No.
And as soon as you allow them to do that, you've allowed them into your life to take anything they want to take.
I don't even let our own IT people do it to my computer.
Right?
Trust no one.
And absolutely trust no one, or your life could be decimated. Hate to think. I mean, that's a substantial amount in stocks and everything. I mean, how much retirement?
Yeah, how do you get that back?
Yeah, you don't.
How do you get it back?
Oh, boy. That's brutal. Let's talk about the next item, a burglary. A local resident called in an active burglary at his residence. The man was calling from out of state, but told deputies that he could see his ex-girlfriend via camera taking things that were his. So he knew who was breaking in. Just wanted to give a call and report his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, this was a weird one. I mean, it was his ex-girlfriend. When the deputies responded, obviously, they got a different story on scene, as usual the case. And they were able to determine that the ex and two other people lived at the residence, and that the ex was not there. Obviously, he was out of state watching this on the cameras. And all it was the cameras stopped working, or these people walked out of view. And so he suspected that they obviously stole things. That's why the cameras stopped working, because they were stealing. And it turned out that there was no crime. There was no evidence of anything. And so the burglary was being determined unfounded. And obviously the deputies told the guy, you know, before you call 911, you know, make – and really your ex – you're letting your ex-girlfriend live at your house with two other people and you're saying she's not supposed to be there? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Did you and the ex get into a fight and now you're calling to get her kicked out? There's always more to the story.
Always. Always.
As you well know now, yes, Tom, indeed. There's always more to the story.
So how did this turn out?
They just determined no crime occurred, and they told the guy from out of state that, you know, that it was not cool to be calling 911 about a crime that didn't occur and that you could be charged with false reporting.
We don't know what happened to the ex-girlfriend?
No. I'm sure she's still there.
Right.
And now she is stealing stuff.
Oh, man. Get ready for another call.
Go call the cops now and see if they believe you.
Yeah, all right. Can't cry wolf
you
too many times.
Can't cry wolf.
Another fraud incident. A woman reported while attempting to sell an item on the Facebook marketplace that she was scammed by a would-be buyer after they claimed that they sent her over two times the amount that she was requesting using Zelle, which she did not receive. This is like one of those typical scams.
This is one of those typical scams.
We sent
scams.
Too much money, so send some back.
Can you send some back? We oversent it. Yeah. She ended up transferring $4,000.
Jeez.
This is like the money wheel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, these are a big amount of money. Lucky for her, the bank was able to reverse the charge, stop the payment, and she didn't lose anything in the end. But again, untraceable. It was a fake phone number. The whole thing was spoofed. And again, people just got to be more careful about if it doesn't sound right, it's not right.
Well, I just got to believe that almost anything you see on Facebook Marketplace isn't really something that you want to go to. It's not a place that you want to shop.
Oh, my God.
And spend your money and get defrauded.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Buyer beware. There's a stolen vehicle. An employer allowed his employee to use his truck until he was in a better place financially.
Doesn't everyone do that?
What a nice employer to do that. Well, the now ex-employee has been in possession of the vehicle for over 2 years.
How long, Tom?
2 years. And hasn't spoken to the employer since last summer.
Oh,
we have a call on this one as well. Let's listen in.
I'm calling in about a vehicle that was registered to me and everything, and somebody's taken that vehicle from me and is not authorized to as well.
So they stole your vehicle?
Essentially.
What is the address where the vehicle was taken?
Billing, Colorado.
Right.
It's out in Summit Cove.
And when was it taken?
It was taken in June.
Do you have a specific date at all?
Yes. June 1st. That was loss of contact.
Okay, I'm going to get your info over to a deputy since you're in the sheriff's office jurisdiction. They're going to give you a call. Mm-hmm. They may come to where you are, but they'll likely call first. Okay, good luck.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. Wow, the dude had the vehicle for over 2 years, and then he just decided to report it stolen, sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Choose your words carefully.
Right.
2 years, ex-employee. Deputies ended up talking both to the employer and ex-employee. Turns out that this is a civil matter. It's not criminal. There was only a verbal agreement. There was no real guardrails around anything. And again, there's always more to the story, but for whatever reason, this guy decided, I think I want my truck back now. So I think I'll just call the police and say that it was stolen.
Jeez.
Turns out it wasn't stolen. It was an agreement between the two of them. And the kid said, I'll return the car. But we had an agreement. He's never asked for it back.
Oh, man.
But it's stolen.
It's stolen now. And now, so what happens? I mean, is it like a false report sort of a thing?
It is.
Yeah.
He didn't get charged for false reporting. It is. But the deputies advised both of them that this is a civil matter and they need to work it out. Kid just said, I'll return it. There's no need to. But he did. He never said I had to return it or when I had to return it.
Yeah.
But there's got to be more to the story.
Right. There's always.
Everybody's not always forthcoming.
Right. There's always more to the
story.
There's
always more to the story.
There is an assault case. A man from Copper Mountain called for help after his intoxicated roommate assaulted him after he confronted him over urinating on the floor of their apartment. The
Who does that?
It's the intoxicated man. That's who it is. The intoxicated man.
Oh.
He immediately attacked the roommate who had woken up to the sound of the roommate urinating and asked him what he was doing. The roommate then went to bed, and the man called for help, and we have the audio.
Thank God, because you can't make this up.
Not at all. Holy cow.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hey, I'm over here. I'm at Copper Mountain. I just got attacked.
Do you need an ambulance?
I think so.
Where are the people that attacked you?
He's in the
asleep
room right now. I'm bleeding all over.
The male is in.
Yeah.
Does he have weapons?
No, he does not.
Okay. How did he attack you? What happened?
He was peeing on the floor in the room, and then, I woke, I was like, yo, what's going on? And then, he just attacked me.
Okay. And are you in the hallway or are you in the apartment?
I'm in the hallway. Okay. We do have security here.
What part of your body is injured?
My
pride.
Are you bleeding?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sending an ambulance and help on your way, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah, because you're still in the room, and yeah.
I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, I'm just woke up and he's peeing on the floor and I'm like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah. Is he known to do drugs or alcohol? Is he drunk right now?
I have no idea. I just woke up.
Okay.
I'm like, yo, is something leaking? And I look over, he's peeing on the floor. Mm. And I'm like, dude, what the hell? And then he turns around and attacks me.
Yeah, that's.
With no question.
Has he done that before? Is this the first time?
It's the first time.
Okay. Sounds like my officers are showing up on scene right now, so I'm going to stay on the line with you until they're right in front of you, okay?
Hey, yep, there's the officers.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and let you go.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
So deputies showed up, and what happened then?
Guys passed out. Just out.
Just out cold.
Out cold. Lying in his own pee.
Oh, my God.
Thank God I've never been in this situation like this employee housing thing where you live with people you don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? this guy's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't know the guy, just it was a roommate. And the deputies woke him up, and the guy literally had no recollection of what had transpired.
Wow.
Yeah, got arrested anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, got a ticket. He then peed on himself in jail. No, he went to jail. we made sure we put him in a cell with a drain in the floor.
Good.
Because what they were lacking at the employee housing was apparently a drain in the floor.
Yeah, he was aiming for the drain. It just wasn't there.
We showed him where it was in the cell, though.
Oh, good.
Yeah, okay. In case he had to do it again. But can you imagine no recollection?
That is messed up.
Woke up highly intoxicated.
Yeah.
Out of a dead, just passed out. Wow. Obviously, they had to get him medically cleared before he went to the jail to make sure that, you know, he didn't have any problems when he got here into custody. But unfortunate. I mean, this is nothing ever ends well that starts with drugs or alcohol. Exactly. Right? Excessive amounts of drugs and alcohol.
And peeing in the middle of the room never works.
Never works.
There is a traffic stop. A deputy initiated a traffic stop on a vehicle after noticing an equipment violation. The driver said that he didn't have his ID and gave the deputy a misspelled name and an incorrect date of birth when he asked for his identity. No ID. Let's make some stuff up.
Oh, my God. I mean, this again, how many times have we talked about this, right? Someone gets pulled over. They give a fake name. They give a fake date of birth. They obviously don't watch these cop shows where they know that the cops have the computers where they can run all this stuff.
Obviously.
Obviously, they miss those TV shows.
Yeah.
But as always the case, or usually the case, he got arrested for false reporting, driving while revoked, no insurance, yada, and spent the night in Summit County Jail.
And that's the way it goes.
I mean, why not just say, I have no insurance, just arrest me now.
There's probably a warrant out for my arrest.
At least you can get rid of one of the things for giving false, you know, identification.
Right.
You get rid of one of the charges. Yeah. Admit who you are right out of the bat. They're going to find out.
Right. Don't start off digging yourself in a hole.
No. Because even if they don't find you the big computer, then they'll get out the fingerprint machine.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll pop right up.
And they'll know right away.
Yeah, right away.
Shots were fired. There's a resident in Heaney reported hearing gunshots and a woman screaming for help. And advised the yelling and the noise had been going on for over 30 minutes in Heaney by Green Mountain Reservoir on the north side of Summit County.
The little town of Heaney.
Yeah.
The little subdivision of Heaney. You know, as we've talked about before, you know, sometimes the call you're dispatched to is not the call you're going to. Turns out that there was no shots fired, that there was evidence of fireworks all over the ground. But nobody around with the fireworks. But nobody was injured, no guns, no bullets, no casings, just fireworks.
And somebody very upset about the fireworks.
Somebody very upset. Oh, my God.
Let's talk about this dispute where a man reported a parking dispute with a woman at the Frisco Transfer Center that led the woman to leaving a bag of dog poop on the man's car. Oh, yes, we have audio from this call as well.
This is another one I've never thought of doing.
Let's listen.
Hello. I had a lady throw a bag of dog shit at my car.
Oh.
I'm at the
another shock dispatcher
transfer station in Frisco.
Okay.
And I was wondering, should I bother the cops with this or not?
You can definitely report that. Do you know when it happened?
Is it still warm?
So I pulled into a parking spot. She was parked a little close to me, which I had no problems with. And I went into the bathroom, and I came out, and then I was going to ask them if they had cameras here that they could get her license plate or anything. I just don't know what to do about this.
Yeah. And you said, did she leave?
Yeah, I went into the bathroom, and then when I came out, she was gone, and there's a bag of dog shit.
Did you see what direction?
No, I was in the bathroom.
And do you happen to know the plate?
I don't. That's why I'm calling to see if the cameras here could pick it up.
We do have this out to the Summit County Sheriff's Office, but the Frisco Transfer Center is their jurisdiction. Okay. They're going to be on their way, okay?
All right, perfect. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, have a better rest of your day.
Huh. Wow.
Hey, you know, we always intervene in the worst moments of people's lives. I mean, this was, look, this guy said, I don't know what to do.
Right? There's dog poop. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I don't know why the dispatcher didn't ask if it was warm or cold to the touch.
That's just too obvious of a question, I guess.
You know, the audio file was just worth it. That's why I included this call on the Justice Files. the deputies were not able to find the poop suspect, but and there was no cameras, there was no license plates. The person got away with it, and the deputies took the poop into custody.
In the evidence locker.
In the evidence locker. Just in case.
You never know.
Hey.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there may be the technology where they can dust for poop in the future and find out where that came from.
DNA test.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about a concerned driver who called in to report a Ready report again. Report every drunken driving incident. Ready, R-E-D-D-I. It's another driver witnessing them weaving excessively. Deputies caught up with the vehicle and initiated a traffic stop after also observing the driver weave in and out of his lane.
I think you have audio for this.
I don't.
4830?
Oh, yeah, I do. Okay, yes.
Somehow got to lead off there. I remember hearing this going, oh, this is why, because this is a good one, too.
Let's listen.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
Good. I'm Deputy Clear at the Sheriff's Office. The reason I'm stopping you and why I got my focus on you is because somebody called you in as a possible drunk driver just because they said you were weaving on the road, and I did see you weaving too, and I, when I was behind you. So, was there a reason for the weaving?
No.
No? Okay. How much alcohol have you had to drink today?
I had none. Diabetic, don't drink.
Okay. All right. Any drugs that you've used today?
The third. Again, called in.
That must mean something about the drive-in, right?
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think I read, but I guess I must read.
Are you, like, looking at your phone or the screen, the music, or?
No, I was drinking my coffee. I mean, I pull over. I actually pull over all the time and let people pass me so that, you know, they're not right on my ass.
Gotcha. Any drugs that you used today?
Just diabetic meds.
Okay. But just some adjust medications, no drugs like marijuana or anything.
I really do apologize. I guess I have to really, I don't realize. I mean, I might not drive as superly straight, but I'm not, you know, crossing the lines and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you see me cross the lines?
I did. That's why I followed you for a little bit.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yep. But do you have your license and insurance I can take a look at?
Yeah, I
All
did.
Right. Thank you.
Can't believe I crossed the line. I did. I did.
Can you imagine someone that admits that they habitually get pulled over for weaving? They're just a bad driver.
That's just amazing. Oh, wow.
It's like, dude, maybe you shouldn't drive, right? Then. Oh, my. He's like, oh, yeah, it's weird. I get pulled over all the time for that.
That is so weird.
It makes no sense.
No.
Other than, you know, he did say that he's a diabetic. It takes medication. And sometimes a diabetic can, depending on their insulin, can present under the influence.
Right.
But maybe he should check his meds or something. But
oh, man.
You think, especially being able to self-admit, like, you know, it's weird. I get pulled over all the time for weaving.
I don't get it. Just so bizarre. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, you know.
So he wasn't drunk. Everything was fine.
He was fine.
He just happens to be one of those guys that get pulled over a lot.
Yeah, and it seemed to not bother him that he should just lead off with when the cop walks up to the window going, hey, by the way, I get pulled over all the time. I'm not wasted.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to waste your time, and I'm not wasted. So let's just get to whatever tests we're going to do because I'm fine.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So he went off on his merry way.
He went off on his way to go weave another day.
There was a suspicious incident. A woman out walking her dog near the Dillon Reservoir was concerned after her dog found what she thought might be a human bone.
Hi, yes, I'm walking my dog over by the middle school on the bike path and just off, like, by the track, you know, the football field with the track.
Okay, and what was happening there?
So I was walking. I'm sorry, I'm out of breath from walking the dog. My dog and I were walking up like the little peninsula park just off of there, like the dirt path, and he found like this weird bone that looks almost like a foot. I took a picture of it and a dropped pin location that I could send you. So if some of you go check it out. I could be wrong. I'm not a bone expert, but it looks really weird. Like there's a bunch of fire pits out there where people had been camping, I guess. Or just sitting and having a fire, like a bonfire.
So you think the bone that your dog found looks like a human foot bone?
It does. It's weird looking. I don't know. Again, not a bone expert. Just a preschool teacher.
No worries at all. Bear with me a second. Well, I'm going to send you a link so that you can text that picture to us.
Random bones in the wilderness. Could it be human?
You'd be shocked at how often, well, obviously, with all the animals we have and hunters, it happens a lot.
Human bones are found in the wilderness?
They are rarely human bones.
Oh, they're just bones.
Bones are found, but people always swear, like, I'm a hunter, and this is not an animal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're always animal, as was the case with this. It was an animal bone. But, you know, we have to treat it all like it's real and try to figure out what kind of bone it is. Oftentimes, we'll involve the coroner. Because they will identify bones. This was pretty obvious that it was not a human foot. I don't, you know, everyone sees things different,
right?
Yeah. Right. Hey, what I liked about it was A, she took a picture. B, she dropped a pin, so she got the GPS location technology.
Right. Oh yeah.
And then the dispatcher's telling her, "We're going to send you a link so you can text the photo." So the photo went directly to the deputies, which is cool technology.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't a human. It wasn't a middle schooler's foot.
So it didn't require an on-scene response then.
It did to make sure that she was okay.
Oh, good.
But no, it was pretty evident from the photo, like, okay, this is definitely an animal bone.
Animal bone, not a human.
But everyone sees things differently.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know.
That's it. Yeah.
Hey, potato, potato.
Tomato, tomato.
There it is.
Deputies received multiple reports of three dirt bikers riding on trails designated for non-motorized use in an area between Tiger Road and Summit Cove.
So we live in Keystone Ranch, and it's not emergency. For 2 days in a row, we're hearing motorized vehicles, like dirt bikes or whatever, going into the trails at the end of Keystone Ranch Road into the, you know, the National Forest. So I was just wondering how that's handled, if that's now becoming a trend. It's just been 2 days in a row, but should I wait and see if we keep hearing them?
Do you know the name of that trail?
No, it's where the homestead is. So you go all the way to Keystone Ranch Road ends.
Yep, I know.
Yeah.
At the end of. And so when you get to the end of Keystone Ranch Road by the homestead, you can either continue going, what would it be, east, or you can turn into the homestead and follow another trail that goes the opposite way, which would be a right. Do you know which way they're going, or?
No, we don't, because we haven't
knowledgeable dispatcher.
Right. Kind of hear them 2 days. Like, they yesterday they were in there for a while. Today they're kind of riding back and forth, so I don't know what they're doing.
Do you know how many of them
it's
there?
It's not emergency.
I saw three now. I think I saw four yesterday.
3 to 4.
They're doing wheelies through the
night. Yeah. But it's the forest trails I'm more concerned about.
Yeah.
But I'll make sure somebody with the Summit County Sheriff's Office reaches out to you.
Yeah. I mean, if e-bikes aren't allowed, they're certainly not allowed, right?
I would think not.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye.
Yes, I live out in Summit Cove, and yesterday there were two, but today there's three young men who are right. I don't even know if they're street legal or not, but they've got these, you know, they look like dirt bikes. And they're going up and down our street doing wheelies, and I mean, it doesn't look safe. And I mean, not to mention it's very annoying, you know, because it's very loud.
But
the real reason why she's calling.
They're loud.
Not the safe.
But right. They're going all over. I mean, you can hear them. And they're going all over.
I think.
But I just thought the wheelies and the, I mean, I'm sure they're speeding and stuff, you know. And I, like I said, I don't even think the bikes are street legal. They're on the street. I mean, I'm just worried someone's going to get hurt. But like I said, it is irritating because of the noise, but. I don't think they're over 16. I think they're young, you know.
Young kids out on dirt bikes having some fun where they really shouldn't be.
Yeah, and this is another place where every spring, as the snow melts, especially out there, we start getting these calls. And what's crazy is, as you know, right across the highway is the motorcycle track.
Right.
But it's not melted out yet. So these kids just take to the trails. It's a habitual problem. I mean, every year with a new breed of kids, you know, because it's a family neighborhood, Summit Cove.
Sure.
This happens. And this is one that where we were talking off air that, you know, we put out a social media post trying to identify these kids. And number one, we identified them and were able to ticket them. They each got a ticket. But what was crazy is this thing went viral, and we got hammered by the, you know, the motocross community.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean? About, you know, get out there and be a rebel and, you know, tear up the trails. And, I mean, it was crazy how, you know, here we're thinking we're doing a good thing for our community, saying, hey, can you help us identify these kids?
Sure.
And we get crushed.
Wow. So some algorithm picked up on this post and sent it everywhere.
Everywhere.
And how many views did you get on this?
It was crazy. I mean, hundreds.
Hundreds of thousands.
I mean, just crazy. Yeah. I don't even know what it's up to now. But, I mean, it seems like it hit every motorcycle, motocross, dirt bike group, organization out there.
And everybody's got a comment, of course.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, the local people that are not motorcycle people that live here in the forest are like, oh, my God, thank you for protecting the forest.
Right.
And the motorcycle people are like, screw you. Leave us alone. Don't tread on me.
Bikers are free.
Yes. Yes. All of that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. So it was couple of kids?
Yeah, it was just some kids.
Just some kids.
Yeah. No, just in case the motorcycle community is listening, they'll be fine. They're not going to jail.
Right.
They just got a, they got a ticket. They'll probably get slapped on the hand, told not to do it again until next spring.
They're not going to be disappeared or anything like that.
Not, so, none of that.
None of that.
Their bikes weren't confiscated. None of that.
And they came away with a little better education.
Yeah, they'll hopefully live to ride another. Yeah. They'll live to ride free again.
That is a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way, that doesn't hurt either.
And just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime or riding dirt bikes, remember it never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
On the Summit County Justice Files, you can also catch up with the Justice Files online at the Summit County Sheriff's website. And you can catch me and the sheriff talking on the radio Thursday mornings at 7:45 on Crystal 93. That's 93.9 in Summit County and 93.1 in the Vail Valley, and online streaming at crystal93.com. So you can listen to us online if you'd like to on Thursday mornings. And that is a wrap for the Justice Files. As always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom. Dun, dun.